Today's daf is daf Nun Gimel. So let's take it from the last three lines of Nun Beis and Beis, and the Gemara tells us from Rapapa. Rapapa, Yasek Le Lebre Be Abba Surah. He was marrying his son off to a daughter of the house of Abba Surah. Rashi points out it seems that he was marrying him off to a niece of his wife's sister's daughter. Fine. So he went to the house of the father-in-law. So the Gemara explains how further Rav Papa Yitzchak Lebrei Be Abba Asura Ozil the Michtav Le Ksuba. So Rav Papa went to the father of the daughter to that he should write a Ksuba. And Shama Yehuda Bar Meremar heard that Rav Papa was coming to this area to the house. So Nafik also is Chazila. He went to go visit him to greet to be Mechabid Rav Papa. Kimati Lepischa, when he got to the entrance to the Machatanim's house of Rav Papa. Have a kamifter minera. Yehuda didn't want to enter in, so Yehuda bar Meimar started to leave. He didn't want to go into the house. And Amalei, Papa says to him, Ni Amar, Bahadei, come inside, come join us. We're going to write the ksuba, so you should join us. And Chazi, de lo havi nichale. Rav Papa noticed Yehuda was not so comfortable. He did not want to enter into the house. And Amalei, Papa said, Ma'ai daitchach, why don't you want to come in? If it's a mishum, da Amalei Shmuel, the Rav Yehuda, is it because Shmuel taught Rav Yehuda? Shinina, my sharp Talmud, lo tevei biibure achsanta. You should not be present when they're trying to pass over property from one to the next. So here you have the father-in-law going to write a nudunia, a dowry to his daughter, which means he's taking property away from the children, the sons, who would have otherwise been Yorishit, and there's an Isser to be Mavir, Yerusha, from one person to the next, even though the father's still alive here. But there's such a concept, the Gemara says, in the Mikbab Basra, a person should not write off his property to somebody else to avoid the sons from being Yorish. And the Gemara there says, anyone who does so, people are not happy when you write the property off to the daughters. So maybe that's your chashash, why you're not willing to go. And there's a machlokas, whether that's a deraisa, whether that's a derabanan or not. Either way, so if that's your chashash, lo teve bu'ubura chasanti, you shouldn't be present when they're passing Yerusha away from the children, from the sons to the daughters, afilu mibra bisha, libra tavi, even from a bad child to a good child, which sounds like you're doing the right thing, but even that is an iser. You have no idea what type of children might come from the bad child. Maybe he'll have a tzaddik as a son. So you should never pass Yerusha away from anybody else. So then, certainly from a son to a daughter, one should not do so either. And maybe that's why you're hesitant to enter into the house while we write the ksuba. This too is a takana. That we learned already that you're supposed to write a big dowry to the daughters so she should be attractive in the eyes of the boys, that they should marry her. So there's no issue, don't worry. This is fine. This is in line with the Kansa Chachamim. So Yehuda says back, Amarlei, Hani Mili Midaita. That's all true only if the father is willingly going to write the dowry to the daughter. But Lasuye Nami, but to force the father to do so, put pressure on, that's not allowed. So Rav Papa says, I'm not telling you to force him. Amarlei, Atu mi kamina lach di'il v'asim. Am I telling you to come in and force the father to write? I'm just telling you, ol v'lotasi kamina, just come and watch. Don't say anything. Don't force the father. Just observe. Amarlei, Yehuda says, Ma'alai didi hainu asi. When I enter in, because of my kavod, it's going to put implicit pressure on the father, and he's going to end up writing a large dowry to the daughter, and I don't want to put any type of unnecessary pressure, so I don't want to come in. Nonetheless, Achbei, Rav Papa really persisted and pushed Yehuda. He came inside to the house where the father-in-law was writing to his daughter a dowry. And Va'al, he came in. Ishtik V'yosef, he sat there quietly, very silent. Savar, and the father-in-law, Abba Sarah, thought the reason why Yehuda didn't say a thing, he sat there with his mouth shut, Ihu Mirtas Rasach. He thought that maybe Yehuda's upset at me, that maybe I didn't write a large enough dowry to my daughter. So what happened? He wrote his entire property off to his daughter. Lasof, in the end of the day, Amarle Abasura, he still stayed quiet. He didn't say a thing. He said, Hashtanami lo, Mishtai Mari, you're not going to address me. You're not going to acknowledge me. I just wrote my property to my daughter, and you still won't talk to me? What more could I do? So what happened? Chai Demar lo, Shavka Midi Lanavsha. I swear, I didn't leave anything to myself. Amarle Yehuda says to him, I mini didi, if you asked my advice, Afil hai nami de kasavta, even that which you initially wrote, lo nichla, I didn't think you should write anything to your daughter, actually. Had you asked me, but you didn't ask me. Amalei hashtanami ahadarbi, and now you're asking me, yeah, should I return back and retract? Amalei shavya nafshech hadran lochamina. Now that you already accepted to send all the money to your daughter, you can't retract anymore. So this was the undue pressure that happened when Yehuda came in. He wrote off all the property to his own daughter. Either way, we see that there's such a concept here. A person should not be mavir, the property from the sons to the daughters. Now, there's an interesting question that the Acharon asked on Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, the Pasuk tells us that he wrote all his property to his son Yitzchak. He gave him nothing for Yishmael. So isn't that being mavir from one ben to another ben? So the Reim answers the question. He says as follows. He says, no, because the Pasuk says, Ki be Yitzchak yikare lecha zera, that only Yitzchak was going to be yorish it. So since the Pasuk says explicitly that Yishmael is excluded, that's why it's allowed. In a typical case, one cannot write all his property to one son over the other son, but when it came to Yitzchak and Yishmael, it was different. The Marsha answers differently. The Marsha says, you know why? Because at that time, Yishmael was still a son. He was born to a Shivcha. He had dinin of Eved Kenani, and Eved Kenani is not yorish from a father, so that's why Yishmael had no right to be yorish it. But in general, there would be an issur to be mavir from one to the next. Now, the Fla asks the following question. The Fla says that, wait a second, there's a Gemara that tells us that in a Gemara, but see, if the person writes off or gives a huge matana, then that matana person actually can retract. So the father wrote off a huge matana to his daughter, let him retract. So he says, the only reason why he could retract is because the Makabel says, there's no way he's serious when he's writing me a $1 million check. He must be joking. I was never really Makabel when he wrote such a large check. But the daughter actually thought her father really wanted to give a large amount of money, and therefore, since Mitzah the Makabel, she wanted this and she accepted it, one cannot retract in that particular case. Fine, so now go back to the Gemara. The Gemara says as follows. Rav Yemar Saba mi Rav Nachman. Rav Yemar Saba asked from Rav Nachman the following. Machra ksubas levaila. Let's say a woman sells a ksuba to her husband. Yesh la ksubas binin dichrin? O ain la ksubas binin dichrin? So when she has the ksuba, and then she dies, so then she's holding on to the ksuba, the husband has the responsibility to give her Yerusha to her children, and it can't be split amongst his own children. But let's say she sells off the ksuba, does she lose the rights? Do the children lose their rights in that particular case? So Amar Lei Rava says, Tibarlach Mochelis. Why dafka when she sells it? Maybe if she's mochel, let's say she says to her husband, I'm mochel, you can keep the ksuba. So, and Rashi points out that mochila is more common than her selling it to the husband. So why not take a case of mechila? So Gemara says, which is unclear what the Gemara means by these levels, but Gemara says, Amar Lei, Hashtel Milcheres Kimibarle. I asked the question about when she sells it to her husband, whether there's still Binin Dichrin there or not. The Afagavdika Lemeimer, even though you could have said Ansua, she was forced. She needed money. She needed a lot of money, so she sold it to her husband. She was pressure. Damina Kimanda Kamachile Mea Uchli Buchli. It's as if she was being scraped with 100 metal combs or something, meaning she was under a lot of pressure. There I'm asking the question. She really didn't want to sell, but she was under a lot of pressure. She needed the money. Mochelas mi barle, but mechila, there's no pressure at all. She willingly gave up the ksuba, so it sounds like from the Gemara that it's only a shaila by mechira. But by mechila, that fact that she was mochelet, then the sons actually would lose the binin dichrin. But as opposed to the mechira case, it's still a suffix. So what's the answer?
What's the case is that the nedunia of her father was in her ksuba or no? Meaning, when she's selling the ksuba, she's also including...
That's all part of the ksuba, the nedunia.
So she's getting already back the nedunia also. When she sells the ksuba.
Well, no, she can't get the nedunia.
I know her price, but...
Depends what she sells, but where the value is on it. So we don't, but not the actual nedunia, though. It could be less.
But the whole thing is included in the
exactly.
ksuba.
Exactly. So when she dies,
otherwise,
the husband...
Otherwise, it would make no sense that she should give it up.
Right, but she needs the cash. She needs the liquid cash now, right.
Okay.
So now the Gemara says, Amar Rav, Rava says, Pshitali, it's obvious to me, Mocheres ksubasa lachem. If she sells to somebody else, yesh la ksubas binandichan. That's pashit. She certainly does get binandichan. Why? My time, Ansua, she was under pressure. The fact that she sold the ksuba, I need money now, and you have the right to collect the ksuba if my husband dies, or he divorces me, or if I die, so either whatever it is. So then she needed the money. That was under pressure. That was pashit, mechir l'acherim. And furthermore, mochelas ksubas lebaila. If she's mochel to her own husband, that's pashit, ain lo ksubas binedichrin. Certainly she doesn't get, or the children don't get binedichrin, my time, achula achilta, she was mochel. Those two cases are pasha. The shaila is, what about selling to her husband? That's the question. So, by Rava, mocheres tsubasa labaila. Do we compare that to kimocheres lacherim dami? In which case she was under pressure and therefore her children would get binin dichrin? Or would we compare that, oh, kimocheles labaila dami? In which case there would not be ksubas binin dichrin. So, it says the Gemara in Basar, the by Hadar Pasha, after he raised the question, he answered the question, mocheres ksuba labaila. Kimocheres lachem dami. When a person sells to her own husband, it's no different than selling to others, in which case that there is binin dichrin, because since she was under pressure, it's so much so that she had to sell a ksuba, So therefore, the din is that the children do get binyan dichron. So there's an interesting shaila. Rishon asked the following question: if she's mochel the ksuba, that's allowed. The Gemara says she can mochel the ksuba, and there's no binyan dichron. Asks the Gemara, but don't we learn? Rishon say, also the adam she'ima ishto below ksuba. Now in essence, if his wife is mochel the ksuba, that means there's no ksuba. And there's an isser for husband and wife to live in the same house without a ksuba. If a person loses the ksuba, there's a requirement to write a replacement ksuba. So if she's mocha the ksuba, they can't live with each other anymore. How is that allowed? So the Rif says that no, it's a situation whereby she already died, and she's not being mocha. It's where the Yorshin are being mocha on the ksuba that's outstanding. But Einachanami, in her lifetime, she can't be mocha because of this din. That's what the Rif answers. The Rashba says no, she's mocha on the Tosefes. But the ikur, the principle of the ksuba, that much she can't be mocha. That has to stay. But it was a surplus that was listed in the ksuba. That was a mocha. And the Ritva says, no. The din is she cannot live with her husband without a ksuba. But if she's mocha, she's allowed to. We're talking about a regular case without a ksuba. But if she's mocha, there would be actually a heter to live with the husband. So Gemara now says further, back inside. So a masiva, masiva Rav Idi bar Abin. He asks the following question. We have to look at Rashi just to get the background before we go ahead in the Gemara here. Rashi tells us, if you look at Rashi, this is Ein Yorshin Shel Zeh. We'll go back in the Gemara in just a second, around 15 lines up, and 15 narrow lines. Mishnah Hiba Yevamos, Ha'isha Shehalach Bai L'Midrash Hayam. A woman whose husband goes overseas. Amrla, someone tells her, an Eidachad tells her, Meis Balecha, Balech, your husband died. You're single, you're free to marry. V'tirua Linase, she's permitted to get married. V'nisse, she gets married. V'charkach Ba Baila, and her husband comes, he never died. He shows up. So Teitze Mizeh Mizeh, she has to get divorced from her previous husband who just showed up, and her second husband, Vein La Ksuba, La Mizev La Mizev, she doesn't collect Ksuba from either husband, Vin Mesem, she dies, and Yorshin Shel Zeh Vezeh, Banim Sheish La Mizev, Mizev, Yorshim Ksubasa, and the no one is Yorsh, her Ksuba. So that's the background. So now look inside the Gemara, Masav Rav Idi Ba'av. Ein Mesem, she dies, Ein Yorshin Shel Zeh, Vein Yorshin Shel Zeh, Yorshin Ksubasa. None of the children are going to be Yorish, the her Ksuba. Asks Gemara, Vavina Ba'av, Ksubasa ma'id avidase. What a ksuba is there? We already said she doesn't get a ksuba. So there's no ksuba. So then certainly no one's yorish a ksuba. There's no ksuba to even speak of. Amar Papa. Papa says, l'ksubas binin dichron, it's referring to that. If she died and her husbands are yorish her, and then the husbands die after that, and the children come to collect from their fathers, we don't say that each groups of children collect from their mothers in the dunya. Rather, they collect as a group of the property of the father, but there is no binyan dichron. That's what we mean. Ein ksuba binyan dichron. Rather, all children from all wives collect equally from their father. Ask the Marva Amai. Why is this the case? Hachanami lema yatzer anse. We could say that she was overtaken by Yetzihara, that she thought her husband was dead. She got married. She didn't want to remain single. So just like we said above, when she's under pressure, under onus, she does not lose binyan dichron. There still is a ksuba binyan dichron. This too is an example of onus, and there still should be a ksubas binyan dichron. So Gemara says, no, hasam over there, kansahuda kansurabana. You're right. In general, the situation of onus, einachanami, there still remains a ksubas binyan dichron. That still is present. But this particular situation, there's a penalty. Since she jumped the gun and got married too soon, because she should have really looked into it, she should have inspected it a little bit more and researched more, and she didn't, she gets penalized, and therefore the children lose a ksubas binin dichron. Okay, so now the Gemara says as follows. Yosef Rabin Bar Chanina Kamed Rav Chisda. He was sitting in the presence of Rav Chisda. Yosef the Kamed said the following. Mishmei de Rabbi Elazar. Mochel ksuba salabayla. If a woman's mochel ksuba, ain't la mezonos. Because part of the ksuba is mezonos. She's mochel the ksuba. She, in essence, she's mochel the whole mezonos as well. Now, Amrle, they say back to Rabin. Elab de Kamed Sali Mishmei de Gav Rabba. Had you not said the statement in the name of a great rabba, a great person, I would have said the opposite. Hava min lecha. Meshivra tachas tova. You're giving her evil in place of a good deed. So samashra may be. So don't let something bad leave the house. In other words, she did the husband a tova. Don't pay the ksuba. I'm mochel the ksuba. Now on top of that, she also loses mazonos. She did him a tova. So why does she lose out on her ksuba? She had mazonos. She should still get the mazonos. Yasser Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman was sitting. Vula vavime bar rapapi. Yasser Rav Chia bar Abi gabayu. Asa hu gavra deshchivasa arusasa. A person came and his arusa. He was engaged and she died. So they asked the question, wanting to know, does he have a requirement to bury his arusa? Amrilei, they said to him, zil kavar o havlei ksubasa. Either you bury her, or you have to give her ksuba. So Amrilei Rav Chia, Tanina, we learn in the Mishnah, Isha Rusa, a woman who's engaged and she dies, Lo Onin, Lo Metamila, there's no Aninus for the husband, and there's no Heta to be Metame if he's a Kohen. And V'chein he, Lo Onenes, if he dies, she's not an Onenes from him, but Lo Metamila, and she doesn't get Metame to him either. Mesa, if she dies, Ein Yorsha, he's not Yorisher. Mesu, if he dies, she is Gove Ksuba, so she collects the Ksuba. So Gemara says, Metame de Mesu, only because he dies does she collect the Ksuba. But if she dies, ain't the ksuba, there's no ksuba, in which case, there's no chiv to be cover her. Because the part of the burial, that's a tanai of the ksuba. So since there's no ksuba, if she dies, there's no ksuba, there should not be a requirement of a burial. So before we go ahead, just look at a very interesting Rashi for a second here. Rashi writes, v'lo metamila, four Y lines down. He says, v'lo metamila, she's not metamit to him. Ain't a chayeves letamila, she's not required to be metamit to her. Even though there's a mitzvah to be involved in six, really seven, of the closest relatives, you should be metame. But when it comes to arusa, they're not connected, they're not married with each other, there's no requirement. If she wants to, letame, she's certainly allowed to, because a kohenis is not warned about tumas mace. And in muzeres letame, afi kohenis. So she has a requirement to be metame to her arus, but she certainly can because a kohenes is allowed to become tame. That's what Rashi writes. Now the Ritva writes. Ritva says something interesting. Ritva writes here that we're talking about a situation that it's usher to her to become tame. How's it usher? We just said Rashi only bnei aron v'lo benos aron. So Ritva's mechadish. We're talking about beregel, and there's a mitzvah to be metar asma beregel. You have to become tower on the regel. So although that's typically understood that men must become tar in the regel, the Ritva says that even women have a requirement to become tar beregel. And the Gemara is telling us here that although in general Kohenes is allowed to become tamei meis, when it comes to the regel, they're not allowed to. It's actually usher for them to be metame. That's the chiddush of the Ritva. The Tori Evan argues on this Ritva. Either way, that's what the Ritva says. So back inside the Gemara. Now the Gemara says, so we just brought this whole din, that an arus and arusa, they're not metame to each other, there's no chiv to bury her. So my time, what's the reason why that he doesn't have to bury her? So Amar Rav Hoshaya, she'ein ani koriba, because the ksuba says, the lichshetinasi la'acher titli mashikasiv lichi, that you're not chayv the ksuba until they get married. All the different dinim of the ksuba is only present and relevant once they're married, but they're never married, there's only arus and there wasn't nisuin. So the Gemara says, ki also Ravin, when Ravin came back, Amar, Reish Lakish, you quote Reish Lakish, Arusa, Shemesa, Ein La Ksuba, same thing. Arusa dies, that there's no Ksuba either. Amar Lahu Abai, Abai says, Zil Amrile, go tell Rabin, She Shikle Tuvusech, take your nice statement, that what you just brought, Ushad Yachizrin, throw that on the top of thorns. We don't need your words, because Kfar Targum, Rav Hoshai, Lishmaisa, Bavavo, we already learned this in Bavo. I mean, you're not telling us any Chiddush here. Take your Chiddush back home, we don't need it. In the end of the day, when Arusa dies, there is no ksuba, and there's no requirement to bury her. So now the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah. Binin nukvin, the yavnin lechu minayu, that all the daughters that she has from him, that the husband has a requirement to continue to support her until she gets married, then her husband has to take care of her. So Gemara says, Rav Tani, there's a machlok, is exactly what the gears in the Mishnah was. Rav Tani ad de tilkachon leguvin, until she gets married, the Levi Tani added the Tibagrin until she becomes a Bogeres. So the Rav, Afagav de Bogar, we're going to say, Rav, if she becomes a Bogeres, so she still gets supported until she gets married. And Levi, Afagav de Insev, and if Levi will hold, then even if she gets married, the father still has to support her until she becomes a Bogeres. And so Gemara says, no, that's not the case. Ella, everyone agrees, Bogar v'lo Insev, if she becomes a Bogeres and not married, or Insev v'lo Bogar, she gets married or Bogeres, either one, the Chuyama lo Pligi, that she doesn't get supported. So if she gets, if she becomes 12 and a half, she's a Bogeres, or if she gets married, she has to be self-sufficient. Keep pligi, when is the machlokas? The arusa of lo bug. If she's only engaged and not yet a Bogeres, that's where we have a machlokas here. So Rav holds that until she gets engaged, and now she's engaged, she's an arusa, lo can she gets engaged, so now there's a requirement for the arus to pay for her. And Levi says, no, until she becomes a Bogeres, even though she's an arusa, until she becomes a 12 and a half, does she have to be self-sufficient. So Gemara says, "V'chein Tani Levi." Levi taught the same thing. B'masnisa ad the tibagrin v'imti zimnin v'dinsin until she becomes a bulgaris, which is the zman in which she's able to get married. But it's all about the zman of bulgaris, according to Levi. Gemara says, "Tart, you need two things. You need bulgaris and marriage." No, Ella, o tibagrin o yimte zmanein lisnasve. Either it means when she becomes a bulgaris, or gizman, with the time for her to get married. Either marriage or bulgaris is the zman in which she has to, she's self-sufficient, the father doesn't have to support her anymore. So ketanai to machlokas tanayim, that amasai abas nizonas, until when would the daughter continue to be provided and supported by the property of the father? Achitaris, until she gets engaged. Mishum Rabbi Elazar, mer achitibogesh. So there's machlokas in the tanayim, just like there's machlokas in the maroyim. Is it bulgaris or is it chas erusim? So Tana of Yosef, ad diyehevyun. Yehevyun is lashon of havai, lashon of a marriage, until she gets married. So Yibarlu, they wanted to understand, what does Rav Yosef mean, yehevyun? Do we say havaya de erusin or havaya de nesun? Teiku, unclear what exactly he meant. Was it shas erusin or shas kedushin? So that's already a third machlokas. So either shas erusin, shas nesun, or shas bagris is when she's no longer supported from the nechse av. So Amar Rav Chisda, Rav Yosef, he says the following. Mishmi lach minei de Rabbi Yehuda. Did you hear Rabbi Yehuda say, Arusa, yesh lo mezonos, so ain lo mezonos? Then what about Arusa? Arusa, does she get mezonos from her brothers? If her father died, does she collect from the property or not? Amalei, mishmai lo mishmile. I didn't hear, but, el misfar leslei, but I think logically she should not get. Why? Because Karen Teresa, since she's now engaged, when she's living with her brother's fine. But now that she's engaged, the responsibility is incumbent upon the Oris now to support her. Lo nichale de tetazel. The Oris, her chosen, doesn't want her to be disgraced, to be embarrassed. So now that responsibility falls off the brothers and onto the Oris. That was his logic. Amar Rav Chisda says, "In Mishmer lo Mishmilach, if you didn't hear what he had said, Misvara Isla, I would think the Svara would be the opposite, that she should get Mizonos from the brothers. Why? Since the chassan doesn't yet know if he's going to want to stay married to her, he never really met her much yet. Lo shadi zuzibichtei, doesn't want to throw money away to her yet. They're only engaged, so it still falls on the brothers to continue to support her. Vikadami, others say, Amrle, mishmila mishmile, that Rav Yosef didn't hear the halacha from Rav Yehuda, but misvar islay, but he had a svara. Kevin de lo kimle, since the aris, the chasen, begave didn't know her yet, it could still be a mekachtos, so lo shadi zuze bichle, doesn't want to throw money away. Amrle, im mishmila lo mishmilach, if you didn't hear it, misvar ilesle, I would think the opposite, just to say the opposite order, who says what. Kevin de irsa, lo nichle de tisla, since they're engaged, the chasen doesn't want her to become disgraced, so the chasen should now support her. So that's two ikadamis. So now the Gemara says, Simon quotes in the mnemonic of the next few sugis here, Shuk, Zaref, Me'ana, Basivama, Shnia, Arusa, Anusa. So we're now going to ask a series of questions about different scenarios if there's a chiyuv of mezonos or not. So first question is as follows. They ask Rav Sheshes the following shaila. Mima'enes, yesh lamezonos, o ein lamezonos. Let's say Katani Yisoma, she gets married off by her brother. She doesn't have a father. They marry her off. And that kedushin is a din mederbanan, and she wants to opt out. So now, and she opts out, and she's a bogeris, does she now go back to be supported by her father's property? Or since she left, she already lost her opportunity? So the din is Amar Leh Rav Sheshes, Tenisua, Almana Bebeis Aviha, V'Grusha Bebeis Aviha, V'Shomeres Yoava Bebeis Aviha. All the situation, a woman's an Almana, she's a Grusha, she's a Shomeres Yoava, she goes back to her father's property, her father's house, Yesh L'Mizona, she does get supported by the Nichse Av. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Oda Bebeis Aviha, Yeshla Mizonos. If she's still in the house of the father, she gets Mizonos. However, Eina Bebeis Aviha, if she's not there anymore, Eina Mizonos. In other words, she just left, she doesn't get it anymore. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda, Hainu Tanakami, they're saying the same thing. I mean, if she's still in the house, she gets Mizonos. If she left the house, she doesn't have Mizonos. So what's the difference between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda? So the answer to the Gemara, Ikebenayu, Elalava, Mimenes, Ikebenayu is a difference not that the Mimenes, the Tanakama suffer, Islay, the Mimenes, even though she left the house, if she returns back, she gets supported. Yehuda suffer lessly. No, so only Ode, if she's still in the Beis Aviyah. But the moment she left, even though she came back, she lost her property ability to collect Mizonos. So the Gemara thinks it's actually Machlokas Tanaim, where the Mimenes gets the Mizonos from Nichse Av. So then the Gemara asks another question. By Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish was asked the following shaila. Bas Yevama, the daughter of Yevama, what's the din? Yeshla Mizonos, o ein la Mizonos. So she's the daughter of the Yavam, and a person, a Yavam, who's Konis Yevamto, they have a child, and then the Yavam dies, so does she get the property now? So what's the shaila here? Do we say, Kevin Damar Mar, Ksubasa of the Yevama goes back to the Nichse Yavam? It's really on the Nichse Baila Rishon, the original father, not the Yavam, the brother who died. That's the Ksuba. The Yavama picks up the Ksuba of her first husband, which has no shaychus to the daughter now she has with the Yavam, which case, less lay Mizonos, there shouldn't be Mizonos to the daughter of the Yavam, because it's not the Yavam's property. It's not Yavam's Ksuba, it's the brother's Ksuba. we say, let's say the first husband who died didn't have a ksuba, not for the ksuba, then takinule misheni. So then we establish that the yavam, the second husband, would have to pay the ksuba. So since the yavam's the backup, maybe that's enough that the child of the yavam should be able to collect from the nechse av of the first husband, isle. Maybe there should be. So the Gemara says, take it. We don't have an answer whether the bas yavam could collect mizonos from the nechse av. And one final question, and we'll stop here. The Gemara says, "By Rabbi Elazar, bash shnia." Let's say a woman is married to someone who she's allowed to marry on a deraisa level, but the Chacham said there's isser shnios, right? Isser midiraisofim shnios was a secondary level of arayos, so she wasn't allowed to get married midirabanan, and they have a child. Do we say yesh lo mizonos? So ain't lo mizonos, is she able to collect from the property even though the marriage was isser, but it was only isser midiraisofim? You say, Kevin de Lesle Ksuba, since we said there's no Ksuba in a case of Shneos the Divrei Sofrim, Lesle Mizonos, there shouldn't be Mizone either. Odoma, perhaps we should suggest, Ima, Dav the Isura, only the mother who did an Isser, Kansurban. So she loses the Ksuba. About E, the daughter, what she did wrong? Dav the Isura, maybe she should be able to collect Lo Kansura, Rabban, and she should be able to collect the Ksuba, or the Mizonos at least. Take the Gemara ends off in a Teku. Okay, we'll stop here, and I guess we'll see each other Friday together.
Friday.
Okay.